All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, March 21st of 2024. Looking ahead, we have a six-game NBA main slate tonight. We have an 11-game NHL slate. Golf teed off earlier this morning. And then the Korea series is now over. The Dodgers and Padres split it 1-1 with a super high-scoring game today. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it if you're able to catch that super early in the morning. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. You get your questions in one of three ways. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. We do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we do this show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So happy to jump in here, have quite a few questions to get us going. So I'm going to get the app pulled up here, just kicked off some lineups, and we're going to jump right in. So it looks like the first question came in from Jay Sams Jr. Question says, if players are not hitting value due to blowouts, how should we manage our roster construction, mostly talking about players that are 9K salary and above? This is like a interesting point, right? We saw this like a ton yesterday, especially. I remember I rostered Halliburton and he was doing like super good in the third quarter. And then he came out and never came back in the game, finished with like 26 minutes. I think Sabonis had like a very similar thing, had a triple double in the third quarter and they were just blowing out Toronto. So then he ends up sitting and like, you know, obviously like those guys could have got more minutes and could have ended up way higher. But I think that's kind of the lens you have to look at it from, is like from like a minute perspective. So maybe, you know, you're somebody who's coming in here and like, you're looking at totals, right? Like, hey, you know, I'm looking at, you know, Sacramento and Washington, and Sacramento is like a 10-point favorite. So maybe, you know, you take a stand where it's like, okay, you know, I want to be wary of like these blowout scenarios, you know, and I'm going to go and look at like the average minutes for some of these top projected players. And, you know, am I okay saying that, hey, I think Sabonis is going to play 38 minutes on average, right? We have him at like 38 and a half. Like maybe you're like, you know what? They're a 10-point favorite. Washington is not very good. Sacramento is on a back-to-back. Maybe I don't think he's going to play this many minutes. And then you drop him down. So like that is kind of the lens I would look at it from. You know, you could have looked yesterday and be like, okay, hey, Sacramento has a back-to-back coming up. They're huge favorites over Toronto. Maybe if they get ahead, their starters are more likely to sit to keep them fresh for their back-to-back for tomorrow. So you could think about, you know, things from like that lens as well. Or like, hey, you know, is the other team fully healthy, right? Like, is Kyle Kuzma still out? It looks like he is expected to play today, but Washington just went through this stretch where Kuzma was out, Denny was out, and, you know, they were playing a lot of players that are, you know, off their bench. And it's like, well, you know, if they're playing like a bunch of bench players, you know, the chances that they get, you know, lit up are probably higher, right? So like the sim isn't going to know that, hey, you know, Sacramento is playing a back-to-back, right? Like that is not something that it's going to take into account. It'll understand who's on the court, and that's why it comes up with these, you know, these totals, but maybe that's something that you're looking into, right? So I definitely think there's ways to think about it. It ultimately comes down to, are you comfortable with how many minutes this player is projected for tonight and making an adjustment based on, you know, what you are seeing and what you're feeling and the stand you want to take. So good question. All right. Question from Zachary. Question says, I understand adjusted ownership can be used to identify good/bad chalk when playing a sport where adjusted ownership and SaberSim ownership are very similar. How do you find an edge? Good question here. So, you know, adjusted ownership is great, right? And like, we'll go back to probably Sunday because we won't have projections for NASCAR for this week yet since we haven't gone through qualifying. But I think that, you know, one thing that you could do is just like run your build, right? And I'm just going to run 500 lineups. And, you know, if we're talking about like identifying good chalk versus bad chalk, you know, your pool exposure is going to be one of your best friends here. And what your pool exposure is going to allow you to do is like, hey, when we are running builds on Sim Diversity 10, which is taking single race simulations and building out the best possible lineups, you know, how are some of the highest owned players grading out? And are they showing up a lot in 500 lineups or 5,000 lineups, right? I would recommend doing this at 5,000. I'm just doing it less for like the sake of time here, but then I'm going to increase the number of my lineups, or I don't even need to do that. I can just look at my pool exposure here. So then I'm going to come in here, you know, sort by pool and be like, hey, you know, how do these pool exposures match up to the ownerships that I'm seeing? I'm like, Ryan Blaney looked like very good chalk, right? I mean, he's in 45% of our pool. He's in about 38% of lineups. You know, he's starting at the pool. SaberSim likes him, right? But then you go and look at somebody else. I'm trying to find an example here. Maybe we sort by ownership. You know, maybe somebody like Chase Briscoe here. I mean, none of these numbers are like that far out here. But Chase Briscoe, you know, in 23% ownership, 16% of my pool lineups. Maybe he is somebody that I want to stay a little bit away from. Hold on one second. All right. Sorry about that. All right. So where was I? All right. So, you know, the pool exposure is going to help you here, and it's going to just give you some ideas about when we're taking these single race simulations, how players are doing over a bigger sample, right? So like, that is one way I would try to find some edge. Another thing that you could do here is, you know, maybe instead of looking at like these players' averages, like, hey, maybe you look at like their upside outcomes, right? Like, hey, what are players, or who are, you know, drivers here whose percentiles may be very high? Because ultimately that's what you're looking for, right? You're looking for these high percentile outcomes. And what you're trying to find out is like, who is likely to have a high percentile finish, but maybe, you know, their ownership doesn't really represent that, right? So you come in here, you know, sort by 99th percentile. And then, you know, maybe you like compare these guys, right? I mean, I'm looking at, you know, Kyle Larson and Denny Hamlin both have a near identical 99th percentile, but the ownership is like a little bit different, right? And not like a ton different, but like 5% different. And you have to pay like up a little bit for Larson. You have to pay like 300 extra. But these are just like ideas, right? Like, hey, is there any discrepancies here where, you know, I think that these guys are very, very similar as far as, you know, how well they can do, but the field is valuing them differently because of a small change in salary or average points or something like that. So those are like different ideas about ways to try and do some research in SaberSim to help you find an edge. So hope that helps you out. All right. Next question from KG. KG said, I'm hoping you can help me help my roster construction on your live stream. I'll be watching. I'm having difficulty using SaberSim to get the lineups to give me various game stacks in a single build. For example, I like Memphis in the Warriors game. How do I include 2 to 3 players from this game and so on, along with my other core players I'm high on? You'll probably want to use some type of rule here. So if like I go back to yesterday's NBA slate, and I'm on today, so let's go back to yesterday. All right, so we're on yesterday. I'm going to open up a fresh build here. So say that, you know, you want to use 2 to 3 players from Memphis and Golden State. Well, then I would just do a rule. And then I would go to lineup rules. I would go to add new rule. I would go to group. And I would say use at least 2. And then I would filter for these 2 teams. And then I would check in all their players, right? So I'm going to come in here. I'm going to check in all these guys. And then this is one rule, right? Where it's like, hey, use at least 2. use at least two here. You could set up another rule, like the exact same rule, basically, where you come in here and then you say use no more than three. So it's like Golden State, Memphis, at least, and then Golden State, Memphis, no more than. And then that is how you get a range here. And then this would be one. And then I go and I make a third rule with your core players that you're talking about and say, hey, use at least X from, you know, this group of players. So some type of, you know, rule combination is going to be your best way to do what you're looking for. All right. Question from Zoo York. How can I import lineups into SaberSim? Good question. Depends exactly what you're trying to do. So let's say that you're building lineups outside of SaberSim and you want to bring them into the right click on the name of the build and then use this upload pool option. This will allow you to upload a lineup file where it will load up into a build. So the important thing to do when you're doing that is to make sure that the formatting is correct. So what I would do is just run a build in SaberSim, download the lineups using the download icon next to the star, next to my lineups, and then just see what the format is as far as columns. Basically, you need the first player position to be in column A, and just make sure that the file that you have matches what SaberSim is expecting. And then as long as those two files match, you can upload it without any problems. All right. Question says, when reviewing contest flashback, how is sim ROI being derived? What is it simming against to derive whether or not this is positive or negative? Is it simming your lineups against the actual lineups using the contest, but still using projections as far as fantasy points go versus actual fantasy points scored? If so, then would a good judgment of how accurate the field lineups used in the pre-contest sim would be the variance between the average pre-contest lineup sim ROI versus the post-contest sim ROI, just looking to better understand if I could truly rely on post-contest sim ROI as a function of being on the right track, if it is consistently positive slate to slate, which I assume it would always be. If going into the slate with lineups that graded out as positive ROI, as long as the field lineups they simmed against were an accurate representation of the lineups used in the actual contest. Okay, so let's talk about pre-contest sim and let's talk about post-contest sim. So in my opinion, the post-contest sim is going to be the most accurate thing that you can use to judge your lineups. And the reason for that is two things. Number one is in the post-contest sim, we are using the actual lineups played So I load up this contest. I could see all the lineups that were played. And it looks like this contest didn't even fill. There was, you know, a little less entries than the contest size. Then what I could do is not only can I look at the lineups, I could look at the users. So I'm looking on a portfolio level. So I'm looking at how many lineups each person entered total. So when we do the pre-contest sim, this is one of the big differences, is that the pre-contest sim is on a lineup by lineup basis only. So what we do we play that out 100,000 times, and then we return the lineup metrics, and then lineup two goes into the contest sim, and then lineup three. The big thing is that they're each going one by one. Now, what happens here in the post-contest sim is we look at all of your lineups, but all of your lineups are in the contest at the same time. We are using all the actual lineups that every user here played, and then we are seeing how they all do. And then we are saying, hey, your portfolio returned this many dollars, or, you know, this much money over a sample. So what we do in the post-contest sim is we take all the actual lineups, we play out the contest 100,000 times using our game sims and our projections, And then we say, okay, you know, from all the lineups that you played, you know, ROI is just the number of money your lineup won divided by the entry fees that it costs. So if you're playing a $1 single entry and we do it 100,000 times, well, guess what? Your entry fees are going to be $100,000. Now, however much money the lineup won is going to go in the numerator. If it's more than 100,000, then you're going to have positive sim ROI. If it's less, then you're going to have negative sim ROI. So that's one of the major differences, is that you get the actual lineups, you get this portfolio type sim ROI number. When you do the pre-contest sim, like I said, it's lineup by lineup. And the other thing is that, you know, if you're playing, say, the $4 micro max where there's 89,000 entries, well, we only have 10,000 field lineups for NBA Classic. So what we're going to do is we are going to simulate this contest as if it only had 10,000 entries. So 10,000 field lineups plus your one lineup is how big the contest is in the pre-contest sim. So, you know, we're always looking at ways to try and increase our field lineups. Like, that's why we have 20,000 field lineups for NFL Showdown. And like, we started out with like 5,000, we've got up to 10,000, we've gone up to 20,000. You know, that number is going to keep going up over time, but you know, that is, you know, some of the differences. And but, you know, in the post contest sim, we're using the real lineups. So that is why I would say it is better. All right. Good question there. Next question here from 8Game. Question says, I'm still having the issue of limiting my pool exposure to players pre-build. When I tried it for PGA, I could never get a single lineup to generate. It would eventually say that it couldn't generate lineups. What am I doing wrong? I tried to rewatch the video where you showed me creating 5,000 lineups and setting the exposure tab, but for some reason, when I tried it, the same thing, it wouldn't work. I must be missing something. So it's really hard, like, for me to say exactly what's going on. The easiest thing for you to do is go to the top right corner, go to report a problem, write us a brief description. This will go to our support team, and they will be able to troubleshoot it more, figure out what is going wrong. But, you know, I can just, like, do a demo here. So, like, basically what I would do is I would go to golf, right? I'm going to go to the PGA Tour. And I don't know if you're just limiting pool exposure or if you are using min and max exposure, but I'll show this both ways. So first off, I would go to the max exposure column. It's going to give me a set global max exposure option. I'm going to say, you know, nobody more than in 50% of my lineups here. I'm going to click save. I'm going to make two small adjustments to projections. I'm going to go to my settings, and I'm just going to build 500 lineups for the sake of time here. So now what should happen is that lineups, my pool exposures should basically never be more than 50%. And we can see if that is indeed what happens here. But let's see what we get. Builder says analyzing simulations. I wonder if it builds. That would be like a pretty interesting bug. The builder is not building lineups. Okay, there we go. So it just took a little bit longer here for whatever reason, but our lineups are generating. So let's let the 500 finish and just see this all the way through. All right, lineups are done. And then I go to pool, sort, no more than 50%. All right, so that's good. No problem there. Interesting point. Like, I kept thinking it was acting like that way because you could never have 50% exposure with that first lineup. That's interesting point, but it seems to be fine here. Maybe it's just, maybe you're using like a smaller value. It's like, that's one way, right? And then what I could do is just now reset my max exposure. So basically just guaranteeing that I'm getting a pretty diverse pool and then being okay to playing more than 50% after the fact. So it looks like 8Game's here, so maybe I just didn't wait long enough. I will try again as soon as I get home. Probably not a good idea to simulate lineups while driving. I would say no to that one, but thanks for tuning into the show while you're driving here. So that's just max exposure. You know, you can do a very similar thing with matching exposure to ownership. If you're going to use max exposure to ownership, I like to increase these percentages from 15% to 25%. And even what I'll do is, like, for anybody less than like 2% owned, I would just go and set their minimum exposure to zero, because it's very possible. It's definitely within those range of outcomes that players at that low of ownership can come in with a min exposure of with ownership that's like near 0%. So I want to allow zero to be in their range of outcomes rather than forcing them to be in, you know, one lineup, two lineups, three lineups, or something like that. So Ryan mentioned, like, our golf builder is a little bit slower. Yeah, it is a little bit slower. I can confirm that. You know, golf is just like one of those sports that just takes a little bit more time. Luckily, projections are up, you know, a day in advance, and you have like ample time. So it's not like anything crazy with like NBA or things like that. But yeah, I hear you. A game said, I was trying to do no more than 10% have anyone golfer in it before trying to run sims. That might be like really aggressive. And I don't even know what the math works out to there. So, you know, if you're trying to do 10%, I would lower my min salary to zero, because there's like 150 golfers. So that means you can have no golfer in more than 15 lineups. Well, no, we're doing 5,000. I'm sorry. So it'll be, what, 500? You can't have a golfer in more than, like, I don't know. I don't want to do math here. But basically, you know, it could get pretty weird with, like, how many golfers there are, what your min salary is, and trying to get all these things to work together. So I would try it on min salary zero and see if that helps you out at all. So that would be my suggestion. And then just like kind of one other thing on that, you know, if you're saying like no more than 10%, well, then, you know, you're going to be like under leveraged on every high owned golfer there is. And like, these are like, you know, the kind of the best plays of the slate. So what I would recommend is like figuring out what the highest ownership is, and then just using that as your max exposure. Like, hey, you know, I'm going to take the highest exposed golfer, and then that is going to be my max exposure that I set. So I think that's probably like a little bit better way to do it. But you know, I don't know exactly why you're doing it that way. And then one other thing you said, another thing I do is that I create my own projections and upload them to the builder. So the projection changes shouldn't make a big difference here. Because what we do is we just shift the fantasy points that the players score in the sim. So like at the end of the sim, you know, if you adjust Shoffle's projection from 86 to 90, we just add 4 points on. So what we will do is we will take this same distribution and shift it to the right by 4 points if you set his new mean to 90. So hopefully that shouldn't affect it. Not saying it can't. You can always still report a problem if you go home and try this and still run into issues. I would recommend doing that. All right. Question here from Zach said, love the effort you put into these daily. Thank you. GPP NASCAR player here. When does it make sense to sort your lineups by anything other than Saber score? I'm mostly playing large field GPPs. So you mentioned Saber score, so I'm going to assume that you're not on the ultimate plan. You know, you could use like percentiles. I think percentiles are okay to use. You know, percentiles are a way of like, hey, I care about upside and I care about nothing else. I don't care about ownership. I don't care about projected score. I just want to optimize my lineups for the highest upside lineups possible. And like, hey, maybe you're doing some type of like geo mean calculation and, you know, you're like, you know what? I'm already accounting for ownership in this way. Maybe I don't want to account for ownership in my sorting metric. So I'm just going to, you know, do my geo mean formula, and then I'm going to sort by upside and not even care about projected score. Like, that's one way to do it. You know, other than that, I can't think of like a ton of reasons not to use Saber score if you are on one of like the pro or like standard subscriptions. All right. Looks like we're all caught up with questions here in both the Discord and the YouTube chat. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be right back here tomorrow, Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.